Let's turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 6. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. And this familiar passage of God's Word, but thank God for what He has taught us and shown us over the last number of weeks. And I know certainly my heart has been challenged, and we pray that even this morning, as we look at many ways, a very simple verse, very seemingly straightforward verse, that the Lord will speak to us afresh and teach us something new about our walk with Him. But we're going to read from verse 9 and just down there to verse number 13. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Amen. Let's just unite our hearts in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee, and we praise thee for the reading of thy precious, thy holy word. May you write it upon our hearts this morning. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Lord, we don't want to hear the opinions of man this morning. We want to hear the word of God, and therefore help us to rightly divide the word of truth. Lord, feed us with the finest of the wheat. Lord, help us today to know the will of God and to be obedient to it. I pray, Lord, you'll empty me of self and sin. Fill me with thy spirit, I pray. Oh, Lord, give me help as I will be faithful to this congregation. Lord, may I say a word in season. And Lord, may the spirit of God apply it to hearts today. Lord, take away all distractions so easy, Lord, even in a gospel or in a message, Lord, from the word of God, to get so distracted that we lose our focus and attention. But, oh, Lord, take us up with thee today. May Christ be seen. Hide the preacher behind the cross. And, O Lord, be glorified even as in our response to the truth we ask in Jesus' name for his glory alone. Amen. Amen. We're coming to that verse number 11. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, if you read any Bible commentator on this verse, you will find that there is a word which is a very unique word, and it is the word daily. Now, the word daily, of course, is very familiar to us, and it's the word the translators use to translate the word in the Greek. But the original word in the Greek is a very unique word because it's only used here in this prayer. Now, the prayer is quoted once again by the Lord in Luke's Gospel, and it's used there, but it's only ever used in the context of this prayer. And in fact, whenever they read literature of the time that these words were written, they cannot find this word. And therefore, it's a very hard word, I suppose, to translate. But in many ways, it does mean, and I think we have the best translation here, daily. But the Bible commentators go even a wee bit further than that. It's not asking that every day you would get your daily bread, but rather it's praying that what you need for this day, you would get. And therefore, the thought behind this word is that you pray for today. Pray what you need for today. Ask what you need for today, that the Lord may give it to you. Now, what does the word bread mean? Well, bread is used in Scripture basically to speak of our needs, to speak of those necessities, the necessities of life. And of course, all necessities of life that we receive are a blessing from God. Those things, in their very basic explanation, those things which will keep us alive. And really, when you come down to it, bread, of course, is representative of food, and it is food itself that does keep us alive. Humanly speaking, of course, it's the Lord that keeps us alive. But for the daily provision and the physical thing, it is food. Now, there is a balance in this chapter, because it says there in verse number 11, give us this day our daily bread. And then it says in verse number 34, take therefore no thought of tomorrow. It also says in that passage about the things that you'll eat in verse number 25, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink. The thought here is that we're not to be consumed with worry over our necessities and always think, where is the next bite coming from? That is not how the child of God is to live, but rather they're to go to their heavenly Father, the giver of all good things, and leave their needs before him. And then don't worry about it, but rather trust him to meet you at the point of your need. Now, what does the Shorter Catechism say about this petition? Well, the question 104 says, what do we pray for in the fourth petition? Answer, in the fourth petition, which is give us this day our daily bread, we pray that of God's free gift we may receive a competent portion of the good things of this life and enjoy his blessing with them. So what we ought to be doing as the people of God is praying for the things that we need, and having received those things, pray God's blessing on them and upon us. So therefore, we ought to pray for our needs. Now, I wonder, when was the last time, genuinely, God's people prayed that the Lord would give them what they needed today? We often pray for very spiritual things, and we pray for spiritual strength and wisdom and all those things, and that's good and proper. But when was the last time you prayed for your needs? And you might say, but I know I have food. But Scripture tells us we ought to pray that everything we need will be provided today by the Lord. And therefore, it's a good thing to pray for what we need and to thank God for what we are given in response to that need. I want us to look at this verse in three simple ways today. First of all, I want us to look at it in a study of the word bread in Scripture. Then I want us to look specifically in the second place at the verse, what it means. And then thirdly, what our response ought to be whenever the Lord does answer our prayer. So the first thing I want us to notice is bread in Scripture. It's a very interesting study. And if we understand what bread speaks of in Scripture, then we'll understand more of what we're praying for in this statement, give us this day our daily bread. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 3, verse 19. This is the first instance of the word bread being used in Scripture. It's always good to see when the word is used first in Scripture, because often it does give some insight into the importance of it. So as we think about this, we see the need of man is highlighted here. It says there in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 19, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Now, of course, this is the Lord, and he's speaking to Adam and to Eve. This is a consequence of the sin that they committed and of the fall, and this is part of the curse even upon this earth. Now, there's two things that we see regarding the necessity of bread. First of all, until the fall, and before Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, it appears that food had been provided for them, and they were able to eat the food that was provided for them, most likely the crops that grew and the fruit that grew, and they were able to eat that, and they were satisfied by it. But when they fell in sin, the food had to be worked for. And labor and sweat and toil had to be exerted in a way that they had not experienced before. And they had to work to get and to grow that which was necessary for life. You see, thorns and thistles and the weeds came forth now, and they had to fight those down that the crops might grow and that the trees might flourish. And therefore, there had to be labor here. And out of the things that we would deem necessary for physical life, the Lord uses here the word bread. And that was really to signify all types of food. Now, there are many other things we could say that are necessities, but the most basic one is this, it's food. We are strengthened, sustained, and satisfied with food physically. If there's no food, there's no life. If there's a famine, then there is going to be death. We need food today. That is our need. Now, there are many people today, and they will say, well, we need this, and we need this, and we need this, and we need this. But the reality is, we're bringing it down scripturally to the basic physical need of man's human body. It is food, and that, of course, is good food and water. But while the Lord has instigated that, you'll notice that there is labor involved, and it says, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. And until we die, there is a need for us to have food. And therefore, it's something that's good and right and proper for us to pray for. But if you turn over to Genesis chapter 28, you'll find that bread is mentioned again. And in this, we see a prayer regarding bread. And it says there in Genesis chapter 28, and verse number 20, and this is after the dream that Jacob had of the ladder and the angels ascending up and down the ladder. And it says here in verse 20, "And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in the way that I should go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of that thou shalt give me, I will surely give a tenth unto thee." Now, Jacob asked for four things. You'll notice, actually, that the first two things are spiritual and the second two things are physical. It says there, verse number 20, "If God be with me," that's the presence of God, "and will keep me in the way," that's preservation in the leading of God, "and then give me food to eat and give me clothes to wear." So what is Jacob realized here? That the Lord gives all good things unto his people. Everything that he receives is from the Lord ultimately. Now, don't forget, Jacob was a rich man. He had many flocks, and he certainly had no issue with money. But he realized that no matter whether he paid the money for the food or he labored for the food, ultimately it was a gift from God. And the food before us on our table is a gift from the Lord. But what is interesting, as part of what he receives from God, he does three things. He does three things. He says in verse number 21, "Then shall the Lord be my God." What's that? That's surrender. And because of God's goodness to him, he surrenders and gives the Lord lordship of his life. Not only that, in verse number 22, "This stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house." He worships the Lord. And then thirdly, he gives to God, because it says, "Of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee." And this is his response, because God has blessed him with his presence, with his preservation, with his leading, with food to eat and with clothes to wear. And being content and satisfied with those things, he surrenders to the Lord, he worships the Lord, and he gives a tenth of what he has to the Lord. And friend, that's a scriptural and spiritually mature response for us in our thing. Very seldom do we look at the things we have and say, how good is the God we adore? But thank God for his provision. Remember the house that you live in. Remember the clothes that you wear. Remember the food that you'll eat, the bed you lie upon, the money in your bank. Friend, those things are from God. He has given you those blessings. But there is a time in Scripture whenever there were those who were God's people, but they did not trust the Lord for these basic necessities. Turn with me to Psalm 78, and we'll find an instance here where these people did not trust the Lord. And we turn to Psalm 78, verse number 19. It says, "Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, he smote the rock that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth. And so a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel, because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation, though he had commanded the clouds from above and opened the windows of heaven and had rained down manna upon them to eat and had given them of the corn of heaven." And here's what happened. The people before had trusted God. They cried for something to eat. God gave them something to eat. They cried for something to drink. The Lord gave them something to drink. But their hearts got so hard against the Lord, the question was, can God give us? Can God really meet our needs? Can God do what he said he was going to do? We don't believe that he can. And they murmured against God, and they sinned against God, and God was angry with their lack of faith. We read here of a people who doubted God and forgot who God is. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Yes, he can. Can God provide the necessities for his people when there's nothing available? Yes, he can. God gives what his people need. Now, there are times that God allows us to be in need and allows us to have that lack in our lives to see what we will do. And our times of need and our times of lack ought to cause us to come close to the Lord and cause us to trust in him more and to realise that we cannot meet the need ourselves, but trust God to meet that need. This people accused God of something that was wrong. They made accusations against God that were wrong. God could meet their need. And maybe there's a believer in this meeting this morning, and you make such accusations against God. I have heard God's people over many years in different places and different countries in this world, and I've spoken to people who are saved, and they say things like this: God has forsaken me. God hasn't satisfied me. I didn't get anything out of church today. And friend, these accusations against God are wrong and sinful. In the first instance, God has forsaken me. He has promised in his word never to leave us nor forsake us. So if you feel that God has forsaken you, friend, the great problem could be that you have forsaken God. God hasn't satisfied me. Well, the Bible says he satisfies the longing soul and the hungry soul and the thirsty soul. The reason you're not satisfied by God is because you don't want to be satisfied by God. You want to be satisfied with other things that take the place of God, often worldliness and sin. And then this thing, I didn't get anything out of church today. I say this reverently. The problem is not that God has taken a day off speaking to people. The problem is your heart is not in the place where you're willing to hear. There's coldness there today. There's sin there today. There's apathy there today. Yet you blame God. You haven't come to that meeting that you got nothing out of praying, not even for the basics of life, but for the spiritual condition of your heart. Yet you blame God. Friend, let us be spiritually mature this morning. Let us wisely and scripturally hold the Lord up as he is revealed to us in his word. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Psalm 84, verse 11. And therefore, if you leave God's house where the word of God has been preached and faithfully preached, and you've got nothing out of it, friend, the problem is neither with the preacher, and it certainly isn't with the Lord. The problem's here. Don't ever leave God's house getting nothing out of it. Get that dealt with now. Don't waste your time in Bypath Meadow. Don't waste your time in sin. But be satisfied with the Lord. But you'll only be satisfied with the Lord and get something out of it, whatever your heart is right and longing for it. But not only do we see this, we see that in Scripture, if you turn with me to Proverbs chapter 4, and we think about need, and bread speaks also about being satisfied. And we know that the Lord does satisfy. We know in turning to Proverbs chapter 4, we know in Matthew chapter 4, we'll not turn to it, but we know that the tempter came and tempted the Lord to turn the stones into bread. And the Lord said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. And what the Lord Jesus was saying there, yes, he was hungry. And while the physical bread would have satisfied him physically, his meat was to do the will of the Lord. His satisfaction was to be in the will of his Father and to be obedient to that will. And while he could have done a miracle and misused, really, his ability to turn stones into bread to satisfy his hunger, he would rather obey God and go through with God. And men and women, not only do we have physical hunger, not only are we longing to go home and get the dinner this afternoon, we have spiritual needs that only God can meet, that only the Word can meet. That's what Scripture says, Old and New Testament, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, every word. Don't be this pick and mix Christian, takes this verse because you like it and throws this verse to the side because it doesn't fit in with your ideology. Every word that comes out of the mouth of God is profitable for us, and if we take it and accept it and receive it and live upon it, we will be spiritually satisfied. But there are a people, and they're satisfied in a different way. Because the word of God tells in Proverbs chapter 4 about the wicked there in verse 14, enter not into the path of the wicked and go not in the way of evil men. And turn down there to verse number 16. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall, for they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. And that is speaking to us of a people who live to be satisfied by sin. And that's what satisfies them. As much as Christ satisfies the believer, as much as food satisfies the body, they seek to be satisfied with sin. They live for sin. They love sin. They thrive on sin. They cannot sleep hardly unless they've engaged in sin. Only then are they satisfied. But I'll tell you, you see, the ungodly who live in such a way, their life is limited. Judgment is sure and eternity is waiting. And we see people in this land even this week, and in other lands across our world, and they have made it their life's work to promote and encourage sin. They get up in the morning and the thing that gets them out of bed is, who can I tell today? What sin can I promote today? Where can I go to promote the blessings of sin? And that's what they're promoting, the benefits and blessings of sin. And there's no such thing. And they're not satisfied until they've influenced someone else to come to their way of thinking. They get up with a single goal to further the cause of sin in the land which they live. They give their heart to it. They're satisfied with it. We see people jumping up and down in the streets. Why? Because sin. Sin has been passed. But Ecclesiastes 11 verse 9 says, "But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment." And friend, there'll be no jumping up and down before God over sin. There'll be no parties over sin. There'll be no joy or blessings over sin. And we need to be very careful. Even as God's people, the things which God abhors and the things that condemn souls to hell are not the source of our enjoyment or the source of our satisfaction. There's one more thing about bread, and it's maybe slightly different, but if you turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 11, and that chapter that I have, passage that I quoted from, chapter 11, and verse number 1, and it says, "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days." Now, we've thought about the necessity of man and bread, the satisfaction of man, but here is the evangelization of man. It says, "Cast thy bread upon the waters." Now, I know if we take that literally, there is a strange image in our mind of bread being cast onto the water. That is not what it's speaking about. The word bread could be translated seeds, but the seeds which are cast upon the water are going to grow the wheat, which is to make the flour, which will make the bread. So when they're saying cast your bread upon the water, they mean cast the seed upon the water with the foresight that something will grow from which you will be able to make bread. The animals will start to trample whenever the water recedes from the time of flooding, and those seeds will grow and the crop will come and be harvested to make bread. And therefore, that is the thought behind it. But there's a lesson here for the Christian. And that is that we are to sow the seeds of the gospel. We are to sprinkle the seeds of the gospel liberally, prayerfully, expectantly, because while we may often not see a harvest or a response to the preaching of God's word or to the prayers of our God's people or to the evangelization of our family and friends, the Bible says here, "Thou shalt find it after many days." And how often a Sunday school teacher has sown a word and a seed within the heart, and the person has gone out into the world, and many, many, many years later, even decades later, that word has been brought to fruition in the heart, and that person has come back and told the Sunday school teacher, "I've got saved." They haven't seen it immediately, but they have seen it after many days. And therefore, be encouraged. Don't be foolish, because Scripture does tell us that, yes, there are times the word of God will be preached, and the response will be, "I'm coming, Lord." But here we see an example of how we are to sow the word of God. But it'll be many days until we find it again. But secondly, let's look at the lessons from Matthew chapter 6, verse number 11. So turn back to that verse, and we're just simply going to present you with the lessons from that verse. First of all, looking at the context of it, we can see that each believer has daily needs. There are needs and things that we need for today. Physically, we need food and clothing and shelter. We need our health. Spiritually, we need wisdom, strength, grace, maturity. Those are needs that we have every day. But if you look where this verse is, you'll realize that we are to ask our Heavenly Father for what we need. That's physically. Lord, give me health today. Give me strength today. Lord, in my work today, give me the ability to do it. Give me success in it. If it's business, may I prosper as I honorably serve thee and I'm honest in my work. If it's working for someone else, may I do it to the glory of God and honestly earn my income that I may be able to use it to get my daily needs. And thus, we are praying that the Lord would give us this day our daily bread. But also spiritually. And often, the Bible says, you have not because you ask not. And this is often the case spiritually. Because there's much that God will give us, and our daily needs spiritually can be met through the Lord. But how often do we really ask the Lord for wisdom today? How often do we ask for grace today? How often do we ask for peace within our hearts today that will not be troubled as we walk with Him? But notice also in this verse, there's an order in how we should ask. And this prayer does not start, "Our Father, give us this day our daily bread." This prayer starts, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." It starts with worship. And therefore, we are coming not just to someone who gives us things, we're coming to someone whom we love and whom we worship. And that ought to be the natural response of our heart. Our first object of prayer should be praise and worship unto God, then bring our needs before the Lord. Now, I know there are times whenever circumstances are that we just simply have to pray, "Lord, help me in this situation." We understand that. The Lord understands that. The Lord answers those prayers. But in our time of worship and devotion, we ought to take time to praise Him for who He is and worship Him. Now, Proverbs 30, and I'll just read this to you, you don't need to turn, but Proverbs 30, 8 and 9 give some guidelines on how we should regulate our requests before God. It says, "Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain." So that is talking about how we should regulate our prayers, praying for our needs and praying that God will give us enough. Enough. And if you have enough today, if you have enough food in your cupboard, if you have enough health to be out and about, if you have enough clothes to wear and be out, if you have a home, friend, you have been mightily blessed by God. Give me that which is convenient for me. Too much, and sometimes we forget God. Too little, and then sometimes we feel we have to go against God's word to get what we need. But if God gives us enough, then we will be satisfied. Godliness with contentment is great gain. We might live in the biggest house, but God has given us shelter. We praise the Lord. We mightn't be eating the grandest of dinner, but God has given us enough, and we thank God for that. I mightn't have the health that others have, but God has given me enough, and I praise Him for that. I mightn't have the money that everybody has, but I have enough, and praise God for that. I mightn't have the clothes or the labels that people wear, but I have covering, and God has given that, and that's enough. Then we're also reminded that as our needs are met, they're not just met as we receive the thing, but remembering who God is and remembering what we're praying for, we realize that God's providence is claimed here. When we say, "Lord, give us what is sufficient for this day in our lives," we realize that what's sufficient for this day hasn't just appeared that day. For example, let's take our daily bread. If we are praying for our daily bread, that bread has been sown in the ground. It's been harvested. The seed has been sown in the ground. It's been harvested. It's been brought to the bakery after turned into flour. It has been baked. It's been transported to the shop. You're praying for that thing on your plate, but in the providence of God, He has ordained that your needs are being met even before you ask them. How many times have we prayed, and even as we're praying or before we prayed, the wheels of motion are already spinning in order to answer that prayer? I remember I was helping out at a faith mission camp in Ontario in Canada in 2003. And during that time of camp, we were out in the countryside in this cabin, and there was a power failure. Now, it wasn't just a small power failure. The whole city of Toronto went out for the day. And because they were trying to get the power back on, certain parts were getting power for a couple of hours, and then the next part of the city was getting power for a couple of hours, and then the next part. So you weren't getting any power except maybe for an hour during the day, just for a little while. In the camp that we had, everything really went by electric. Even the water was pumped from a well through electricity, and therefore turning the taps, there was no water coming out. Toilet facilities weren't working. The showers weren't working. Air conditioning wasn't working. It was about 25 degrees at night. And I remember we met together as a camp leader team to decide what we were going to do. Now, the suggestion was made, send the children home. But the phones weren't working either. So we had absolutely no way to communicate with parents. So we sat round in this prayer meeting and we started to pray. And you know what we prayed for? We prayed the Lord would give us water. Now, I never in my life had prayed for water. But yet, that morning, as the kids were still sleeping, we met as camp leaders and we said, Lord, please give us water. And we didn't know where the water was going to come from. The supplies in the shop were starting to sell out. There wasn't even enough to bring here. We didn't have the money even to buy that. But that morning, there was a man who lived about 10 miles from the camp centre. He knew that the camp was on. He realised what the probable need was. And he owned a shop. And he went into his store and he filled his van with bottled water. And he drove up to the camp. Now, that was before we had started to pray. Whenever the prayer meeting was open, or it was over, the man came to the door and he said, I have water for you. And I have to say, I never thought in my lifetime I would be praying for water. But we came to the point where we had to that day, and you know what? As we were praying, God met the need. And is that our God? Yes, he burdens us to pray, but maybe days or weeks or months before, he's already ordained the answers to that prayer. And he's put them into motion that our prayer will be answered whenever we call unto the Lord. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Oh, what things we lack. Because we do not go to God in prayer. We see humility here. Give us. It's not saying, Lord, I'll bring what I need. No, it's Lord, give us. We realize that everything we have comes from thee. Everything we have. As you walk through your door today to go home, this house has been given to you by the Lord. As you sit at that table, that food is from the Lord. Oh, how we ought to thank him. Labor does not guarantee food. Neither does money alone. But the Lord's provision does. A willingness to work is presupposed here as well. Because as we saw in Genesis, it says, by the toil and sweat of thy brow, you know, the Lord will not do for us what we can't do for ourselves. In many ways, the provision of our daily bread will be us doing an honest day's work for it. But in times of need, the Lord will meet us. And friend, it would be wrong to ask God to give you needs, whether it be financial or material, if you are just not bothering to try and earn the money yourself. Now, I know, understand that there's those who can't medically, and we understand that there is a government agency set up for that, and we thank God for that, because there are times that sometimes it can't work, and we do need that financial help, and that's what we pay our taxes for, and we've every right to use that when we need. But, you know, if you could work, and you're able mentally and physically to work, and you just don't bother, well, don't be praying, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. It's not for lazy people, this is for people who are honourably living for the Lord. But there's also generosity in this verse, because it doesn't say, give me. It says, give us. Praying for the family. praying for their friends, that what the Lord gives to them, they will use to bless others. Remember that man is body and soul. He needs the needs of his body met, but he also needs the needs of his soul met. And the Lord Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And therefore, we ought to be physically satisfied with what he gives us, but also seek to be spiritually satisfied with who he is and what he gives us in his word. Finally, and with this we're closed, what is our response when God answers such prayers? Well, God continually meets our needs, and we're often satisfied both physically and spiritually, so how should we respond? When you pray for something, even as basic as your needs, what should our response be? Well, first of all, our response should be a thankfulness expressed in prayer. Get used to thanking God for what he's done for you. Get used to thanking God for what he's given you. Make it your policy to pray before you eat, to realize that God has given this for you. Make it your policy to pray for your finances and thank God that he's given you, for your clothes, for all of those things. Do not leave it out, because everything God has given is a blessing from him. But also, of course, spiritually, when God blesses you in a service or God encourages you, get on your knees and thank him. In time of private devotion or prayer, when God steps in and just really touches you, thank him. Don't just say, oh, well, that's great. Thank the Lord for what he's done for you. We've so much to thank God for. But not only that, return unto the Lord what he has blessed you with in tithes and offerings. Now, that policy set down by Jacob to give a tenth of what God gave to him, it's also mentioned again in Malachi, and it says in Malachi that the Lord is speaking to his people, and he says, you have robbed me. Where have we robbed you? You've robbed me in tithes and offerings. A tithe is a tenth part of your income, and an offering is what you give unto the Lord as a response for what he has given to you. You say, well, I couldn't do that. But remember, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. God will honor you. God will bless you. God will prosper you. And it's right and proper, and it is the policy of the church to take the tithes and offerings of the people of God for the advancement of the kingdom of God, for the working of the church, for the ministries within the church. And certainly it is our duty to give unto the Lord. Remember, all that we have is his. All we're doing is giving back what he has already given to us. And you see, when you've that attitude, then there'll not be this materialism, what more can I get? But you'll realize it's from God. And if I give back to God what he is owed, and I'm thankful for what I have, friend, you'll live a contented life. Oh, how we all long for that. But then the final thing is this: there ought to be a care and responsible use of those things that God has blessed you with. You know, buying that suit, or buying that dress, or buying that jumper, and you wear it once and then just chuck it to the side, friend, that's not responsible use of God's provision. Food being wasted is not really a responsible use of God's provision. And listen, we all do this. But if we realize God has given us what we've asked for and he's met our needs, we really ought to be careful to use it wisely. Money, we ought to use it wisely. When he blesses us spiritually, we ought to use those things wisely. Sometimes God does give wisdom to people, or he gives a little knowledge or insight into the word of God. And instead of them using that wisely and becoming more like the Savior, they get pride in their heart and go, well, he wouldn't know that, or you wouldn't know that, but I'll tell you what that means. You know, that is not using what God gives to us wisely or spiritually. So when God gives us something, thank him for it. Return a portion of it in tithes and offerings, and take care and responsible use of those things that God has blessed you with. I close by saying this morning. There's not one person will go home from this church today and fail to satisfy their physical need. Not one. From the oldest to the youngest, whatever your physical need is, your hunger, you will not fail to go home and satisfy that. I trust and pray that there's not one that will neglect their spiritual need. Not one will forget about their soul. Because what a tragedy for a man, a woman, or a young person to have a body that's strong and healthy, because its needs have been met, and a soul that's lost in hell forever because its needs were neglected. May God give us this day what we need. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee this morning for the privilege of being reminded that all good gifts around us are sent from heaven above. Then thank the Lord, oh thank the Lord, for all his love. We realize we're a greatly blessed people today. We realize there's so much, Lord, you have given us that we haven't even asked for. Oh God, thou hast been so good to us. We thank thee for the tithes we have prayed, and we have sought certain things from the Lord, and we praise thee, Lord, that those things have been given to us as well. Lord, give us what we need physically, and help us, Lord, to be satisfied with what you give. Help us be a contented people. But, Lord, we pray above that spiritually, you'll meet the need of each person here. Lord, there's men and women, there's boys and girls here today, and they're sinners. Lord, they do not hunger and long for their soul to be satisfied. Oh, Lord, give them a hunger today. Give them a desire to be satisfied spiritually. Give them a desire to know the contentment that only God gives through the blood of Jesus Christ and the joy of sins forgiven. May the Lord continue to speak today. Make us a thankful people and a wise people. For we ask these things in Jesus' name, for his glory alone. Amen.